Scripture reading is from the book of Proverbs, chapter 1, verses 1 through 6. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. To understand a proverb and an enigma, the words of the wise and their riddles.
Good morning. It's good to see you today on this lovely, crisp spring morning. Just to clear some things up, I know I make no bones about the fact that I like winter, I don't mind the cold, that I enjoy the snow, but I did not order the 15-degree weather we've had this week. I didn't ask for the snow, so don't fault me for any of that. But it is good to see you today, even if it is a little bit chilly outside for the beginning of spring. If you have your Bibles, let's open them keep them open to Proverbs chapter 1. That's where we'll be spending our time today. We're really going to be just reflecting on one verse, one key idea from Proverbs chapter 1. Starting next week, we're going to be beginning a journey together in the Gospel of Mark, just looking at the story of Jesus, just trying to get to know Jesus a little bit better. And if you have some people in your life who you'd like to see know Jesus a little bit better, it might be a good chance for you to invite them. This time of year, and especially next week, people will be thinking about Jesus. They'll be thinking about the resurrection. They'll be thinking about spiritual things. And so that might be a chance for you just to invite someone to come along. And maybe they're not ready to come here yet, but maybe it's a chance for you to begin to have some conversations with them about our Creator and about our Savior. So we'll be beginning Mark next week, but today we're in Proverbs 1. So let's pray together as we start. Father, we thank you for today, and God, we thank you for the chance to open your word together, and God, we pray that as we spend a few minutes talking about your word, that you would help us. Father, we pray that you would give us wisdom and understanding and discernment so that we might be able to hear from your word what we need to hear, and that we might be able to apply it to our lives in a way that would bring glory to you. Father, we thank you for all you do for us, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we begin this week, I want to start with the story. It's kind of one of those preacher stories that you can't really tell if it's true or not. My guess is it's probably not, but here's the story. Now, there was a man who was driving down the highway when he got a flat tire. And so he pulled over off the highway to fix his flat tire, and he just happened to pull over by a mental hospital. And so he gets out of his car, and he looks, sees he has a flat tire, also notices that there's a man on the other side of the fence who's just kind of watching him. The man changing the flat tire doesn't pay a whole lot of attention to him, just kind of goes about the task of changing his flat tire. So he takes the hubcap off and begins to take the lug nuts off, and he places the lug nuts carefully in the hubcap so he doesn't lose them. And so he goes through that whole process, gets all of the lug nuts off, and begins to pull the tire off. And as he's pulling the tire off, he kind of steps back a little too far, and he hits the hubcap. And you know what happens next. The lug nuts go flying everywhere, and they end up going down a storm drain. Like one of those just horrible strokes of bad luck, all of them are gone. And so this man is bewildered. He just kind of stands there in amazement, like, I cannot believe this just happened to me. What on earth am I going to do? So he stands there thinking about all of the different things that he could do. Like, can I pick the car up and can I move it somewhere? Can I call someone? Well, no, I don't have a cell phone. What on earth am I going to do? And then the man standing on the other side of the fence looks at him and says, why don't you just take a lug nut off of each of the other three tires and use that to hold on your spare tire so that you can get somewhere where you can buy lug nuts to replace the lug nuts that you just lost. And the guy with the flat tire, like, that's genius. That's a brilliant idea. Why didn't I think of that? And he's thinking all of these things in his head, and then he says out loud to the man in the mental institute, you're the one that's in the mental institute. How did you think of that? And I didn't. Now, the man in the mental institute could have been really offended at this because, honestly, that's a really offensive thing to say. But he chose to be charitable about it instead. And he said, I may be crazy, but I'm not stupid. Now, that word stupid is not a word that we like very often. We don't like to hear it. We don't necessarily even like to use it. And we most certainly don't like to be called stupid. And my clicker seems to be a little bit on the fritz today. Joe, I might be coming for the other clicker. We'll see. But we don't like to be called stupid. We don't like that even to be used around us. See, the Bible has another word. It has the word fool. And in the book of Proverbs especially, it talks a lot about this idea of a fool, this idea of foolishness. In fact, the word fool or some form of it shows up in the book of Proverbs in 79 different verses. Now, there's another word that is coupled with the idea of a fool that packs quite a punch in the book of Proverbs, and that's the word wisdom. The word wise or wisdom appears in something like 111 different verses throughout the entire book of Proverbs. And that means that 25%, a full quarter of the book of Proverbs, is directly addressing wisdom and foolishness. But the truth is, even when the book of Proverbs isn't using that direct language, the book of Proverbs is talking about wisdom. Where it's talking about the lack of wisdom, what it calls foolishness. See, wisdom is something that we are called to pursue. In Proverbs chapter 2, Solomon writes, and Joe, I'm just going to go ahead and trade you clickers. In Proverbs chapter 2, Solomon writes these words. He says, "My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments within you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding, yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as for hidden treasures," Solomon says, make your ear attentive to wisdom. He says, search for it. He says, seek it out. Have you ever been around someone who just has this ferocious appetite for learning? I had a friend in college who was a couple years younger than me who was a genius. Like, I don't know where his IQ was. I know it was much higher than mine. I don't know if he actually met, like, the genius standard. But this kid was absolutely brilliant, and he had this ferocious appetite for learning. We would have a lot of really, really nerdy conversations together. He was the kind of person who knew something about everything. My undergraduate degree is in sociology and communication, and my master's degree is in theology. And so I have a very kind of limited field of knowledge, but he knew something about everything. He was the kind of guy who would have a couple extra hours before class, and so he would pick up a book off the shelf and read it. And then he would be able to tell you all of the important points. He would be able to quote to you all of the important sections, would be able to tell you why the author was wrong in about 6 different ways and about 12 other books that he should have cited. He had a ferocious appetite for learning. And Solomon says that we should pursue learning. We should pursue wisdom. We should pursue instruction like that. It tells us when we do that, when we pursue wisdom like that, that God gives us that gift. Verses 5 and 6 says, "Then you will understand the fear of the Lord, and you will find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth come knowledge and understanding." There's a lot of ways to pursue wisdom. There's a lot of ways to pursue knowledge. When the printing press was invented, it literally changed the world because it made knowledge and it made learning, it made wisdom, it made books available to people who never had access to them before. And in our day and age, the internet is changing the shape of the world. It's changing the way that we learn. It's changing the way that we interact. It gives us libraries of information at the tip of our finger. There are lectures available by some of the world's most renowned scholars. We're told to pursue learning, and there are a million ways that we can pursue this kind of learning and wisdom. But the scripture tells us that there's something that has to come first. Before the lectures, before the books, before the conversations, there is something that has to come first. The Scripture tells us how to be wise. And the Scripture also tells us how we can be a fool. Proverbs 1, verse 7, at the end of our Scripture reading, says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." This is the foundational verse for the book of Proverbs. This sets the stage for everything that comes after it. But it also gives us a measuring stick. It gives us a measuring stick to judge our potential to be wise. It also gives us a measuring stick to judge our potential to be a fool. It also tells us how we can move from foolishness to wisdom. It says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of true knowledge. That if we want knowledge, if we want wisdom, then this verse gives us the starting point. It gives us the place to begin. And in fact, that's an important word in this verse, the idea of beginning. Other translations would use a phrase like foundation, where the ESV uses beginning. It falls kind of right in the middle of this idea, kind of cutting it in half. And this word for beginning has a deep meaning to it. It means the most important thing of first order. It means the capstone. It means the starting point. It means the right place to begin. It means the essence. It means the foundation, the beginning. And so this foundation, this beginning, sets the stage for what comes next. Now, I've never built a house before. I don't think you needed me to tell you that. And I don't know the first thing about carpentry. But I do know this, that the foundation is incredibly important. You can have the best walls, and you can have the best materials, and you can have the most intricate engineering design. You can have the fanciest architectural design. You can have the best cabinets, the best furniture. You can have the best anything you can imagine in a house. But if the foundation isn't right, if the foundation isn't good, then that house is not going to stand. Without a foundation, nothing stands. And so there's the foundation, there's the beginning. And then what comes next? Well, knowledge comes next. And this is more than just acquiring information. It's more than getting facts inside of our head. This biblical idea of knowledge means perception. It means discernment. It means your awareness. It means your understanding. And it's very similar to those last few words of wisdom and discipline and instruction. This idea of knowledge has to do with how we live life, or how we view life, rather. It has to do with how we understand life. It's our interpretive framework. It's the lenses through which we see the world. But more than just being how we view the world, this idea of knowledge has to do with how we live in the world. And what this is telling us, if that we want to live properly, if we want to live life as life was meant to be lived, and if we want to live life to the fullest, if we want to experience all of the joy in life that there is to experience, then we need what the Bible says is the foundation. We need what this text tells us is the essence, is the beginning, is the starting point. Before we get to that, there's another important word, and that's the conjunction but. When you see the word but, you know there's going to be a comparison and a contraction. There's going to be a contrast here. On the one hand, we have a person with knowledge. We have a person who knows how to live life properly, a person who knows how to live life fully. And they're compared with something. They're compared with a fool. So a person who doesn't have that foundation, a person who doesn't have that starting point, Bible says, is a fool. And so what's the difference? What's the difference between the person with knowledge, a person who knows how to live life properly, who knows how to live life fully, and the person on the other hand who is a fool? Well, it's the phrase that kicks this verse off. The fear of the Lord. It is the fear of the Lord that makes the difference between living a meaningful life and living a foolish life. Now, when the scriptures talk about the fear of the Lord, it's not talking about trepidation. It's not talking about the kind of fear we think about when we watch horror movies or when we go out to a haunted house during Halloween. It doesn't mean to be scared. It doesn't mean to be frightened. I've got a dog. Her name's Mila, who's about 40 pounds, one of the most athletic dogs I've ever seen in my entire life. But my dog is a scaredy cat. Like, my dog, especially when we first got her, was afraid of everything. She was afraid of me when we first met. She was afraid of practically every sound that happened in the house. A paper bag would blow across the lawn, and she would be afraid of it. Just the other night, I was lying in bed. Amanda was at work, and Amanda had left like a little piece of makeup, like a little metal tube on the bed. And as I was just falling asleep, that little piece of makeup fell off of our bed and hit this wooden bench at the bottom of our bed. And it sent my dog going crazy. She was scared to death of this little makeup tube. And the Bible talks about fear. It's not talking about that kind of fear. It's not talking about being afraid like that. When the Bible talks about fear, it's talking about being in awe of the Lord. It's talking about having a reverence and obedience to the Lord. It's talking about having a respect for the Lord. It's talking about being in submission to the Lord. The fear of the Lord means to give God his proper place in our lives. So what this is telling us, that if we want to know the most important thing about life, if we want to know what the essence of life is, if we want to live a purposeful and full life, it starts with fearing the Lord. Because when we are in awe of the Lord, we understand that God is great and there is no other God. When we have a reverence for the Lord, we understand that it is God who is holy and it is God who is worthy. When we live in obedience to the Lord, we understand that God's will and God's purpose is more important than our own. When we have a respect for the Lord, we understand that God deserves all of who we are. And when we submit our lives to the Lord, we understand that God is greater than anything else in our lives. See, when we fear the Lord, our lives are not wasted on foolish things. When we fear the Lord, our lives are not wasted on things that don't matter. When we live into this fear of the Lord, our lives will not be wasted by the trinkets and toys that so often consume our lives. But when we live the fear of the Lord, our lives will be spent on eternal things. They will be spent on things that matter. They will be spent on things that make a difference. When we are in awe of the Lord, when we have a reverence and obedience, a respect, a submission to the Lord, means our lives are lived how they are meant to be lived. As far as I know, in the entire Bible, we are only told to fear one thing. In Luke chapter 12, Jesus says, "Fear not, little flock, for it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." And then he says earlier in that same chapter, "I tell you, my friends, do not fear those who kill the body and after that have nothing more they can do. But I will warn you whom to fear. Fear him who after he is killed has authority to cast into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 pennies? Are not one of them, and what not one of them is forgotten before God? Why, even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not. You are of more value than many sparrows." And there is so much in life we can be afraid of. There is so much to fear. You turn the news on and we see fear mongering. It's like there is danger lurking around every single corner. But Jesus says, don't be afraid. He says, don't be afraid because those things can't hurt you. Sure, they might be able to hurt you physically, but they can't hurt you truly. Says, don't be afraid. It's your Father's good will, good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Jesus says, don't be afraid. God knows you so deeply. He knows the number of hairs on your heads. Don't be afraid because you are valuable. There's only one thing There is only one thing that we should fear. That's to fear the Lord, the one who made us, the one who knows us, and the one who calls us. Now, here's why this matters. Here's why it matters what we fear, because what we fear controls us. Whatever we fear is what will control us in life. If we are afraid of the dark, we will run from the darkness. If we are afraid of people, then people control us because we will cower down before them. If we are afraid of failure, then failure controls us because we'll never attempt anything. If we are afraid of rejection, then we will never step out in faith because rejection controls us. If we are afraid of insignificance, then that fear will control us and we become obsessed with ourselves. If we are afraid of death, then the fear of death holds us in slavery, will consume our thoughts. But when we fear God, we will no longer be bound by any of these fears. See, the Bible also says something else about fear. In 1 John chapter 4, it says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, for fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love." As we begin to live into this life of fearing the Lord, the book of Proverbs tells us that we'll come to know wisdom. It tells us as we begin to fear the Lord that we will come to know knowledge. But more than that, when we fear the Lord, we come to know God. And when we come to know God, we begin to know the love of God. And that love casts out all fear from our lives. See, we are called to fear God. But it's not the same kind of fear that comes from a fear of punishment, or that comes from a fear of tyranny, or comes from the fear of manipulation or control. One writer said, "We discover that this perfect love casts out all fear. Not even God will hold us or control us by fear. When we fear Him, we in essence begin to live a life where we are fearless. Because when we fear God, we have nothing else to be afraid of." So how does all of this come together? How do we make an impact with our lives? We begin by fearing the Lord. How do we rise above those fears that control us? We begin by fearing the Lord. How do we become fearless and faithful servants and warriors for the gospel of Jesus in our communities? We begin by fearing the Lord. And so what do you fear? What do you fear? What are you afraid of? Because God is bigger than all of those things. If you are afraid of the darkness, God shines a light in the darkness. If you are afraid of people, God is the one who judges and who judges justly. If you are afraid of failure, God is the one who offers to us forgiveness more than we could ever imagine. If we are afraid of rejection, God is the one who calls us, and God is the one who claims us, and God is the one who loves us as we are. If we are afraid of insignificance, remember that you are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus. And if you are afraid of death, remember, Christ is the one who faced death. And Christ is the one who has conquered death. God is bigger than our fears. And so we fear God. God is bigger than our fears, and so we trust God. God is bigger than all of our insecurities. And so we give our lives to our God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So the message of Proverbs today is don't be a fool. Don't waste your life, but fear the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we come before you today as our God, as our Creator, as our Savior, and as our Lord. And Father, we pray that you would give us the strength to lay aside any fears that we have, any anxieties that we have, any insecurities that we might have, as we give our lives in fear of you. Not the fear of punishment, not the fear of mistakes, not the fear of rejection, but the fear that comes from knowing that you are God and we are not. The kind of fear that comes from reverence, knowing that you are holy and that we are not. Father, help us to live with this kind of fear. Help us to live life as you have envisioned us to live, as we make much of your name in this community and in our lives. Father, we pray in Jesus' name, amen. We offer an invitation this morning, as we always do, an invitation for you to surrender your life to Jesus. If you've never done that and you are ready to confess Jesus as Lord and you're ready to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, we want to give you the opportunity to do that now, to do that today. Or if you're here and you've given your life to Christ, but you've gotten off track and you need some prayers and you need some support to get back on track, we would love to be able to pray with you. So if you need to respond, would you come as we all stand and worship?